Now we're in the second chapter of Habakkuk. We did not conclude it last time. And again, may I say that all of it originates when this man Habakkuk, with his questions, he went to the watchtower, and there God spoke to him and gave him this tremendous verse that God is working with humanity today on a great plan and purpose that comes out of eternity and reaches into eternity, and that God had a plan by which he was going to save sinful man. And that was the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, before God brought anything physical into existence, and man was not even in existence. God had already determined that he's going to work out a plan for that man. And so today, humanity is moving through this little world on which we live. Apparently, mankind's been on this earth several thousand years. How many thousand, I don't know. And I've read many books on this. I'm convinced the scientists don't know either, but they write a great many books on it. And that's all right, but my guess, or your guess, is probably as good as theirs. But man's been around here not too long, and he's moving in two directions. And that's the thing Habakkuk saw. There was that man by pride, lifted up in his own strength, attempted to get all he could down here on this earth. He rejected God in rebellion against God, no capacity for him. And that way leads to destruction. There is another way, and that way is the just shall live by faith. Faith in a Savior that died upon the cross. Now, when men pursue that other way, these are the things that God will judge him for. Not so much for taking the wrong way, but that way led to certain woes that pertain to the nation of Babylon. And this is the reason that God would judge them. The first woe we saw last time, it was in verse 6. That this nation would seize by force that which was not his at all, did not belong to them. And they took it by force. God will judge them for that. And then that was the second woe, and that was covetousness. They coveted everything. And God will judge for that. The third woe was that what they got by murder, by slaughter, by violence, by brutality. And God would judge them for that. And that's in verse 12. Then we see that the fourth woe is drunkenness and immorality. I want to read that again today because that's actually where we are beginning. And I want to read verse 13 first. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples shall labor only for fire, and the nations shall weary themselves for nothing. Just think of the futile efforts that have been made by the great nations of the past. Instead of building up, they've spent more time in tearing down. You look at, for instance, Greece, and those marvelous, wonderful pieces of architecture and statues and art and literature. But actually, the Greeks spent more time in destruction. That man, Alexander the Great, as he crossed over into Asia, and he didn't do anything in the world but destroy one city after another. Well, one great civilization after another. That was the thing that marked him out. That's the thing that marked out Babylon, that is the specific nation that is mentioned here. Then we come here to verse 15, and he says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. And this is actually a little different than the drunkenness that he mentioned back in verse 5. For there, God says that he transgresseth by wine. But the tragic thing about it is that woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy wineskin to him. makest him drunk also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. In other words, liquor leads to gross immorality. It leads to the breaking down of morals. It leads men to commit sins they probably otherwise would not. Dishonesty, many of those. Now, today this is an alarming thing in many of the large corporations. I'm told by a man here in Southern California who holds a very responsible position in a very large corporation, and another man that I know connected with one of the big banks out here with all their branches. He says that one of the things that they do, and the other man says they do the same thing in their corporation, they have employed certain men. They're generally officials, and their business is to watch for a man that's beginning to drink too much. They have many ways of telling that. Actually, they even talk to the wife. They even have him followed at night if certain things begin to show in his work, late for work, or doesn't even show up for work. And these companies, because some of these men are brilliant men, good men, they go to them and face them with this problem of drink that they have and offer to help them, assist them, give it up. And may I say to you, if you want to know how crazy this is, these same companies have cocktail parties to get men drunk, and then they have a process of drying them out. That's sort of like running a hospital by bringing in well people and giving them disease germs and then operate on them or treat them for the disease that they get. That looks like man's become sort of a guinea pig in this crazy world in which we've moved today, with so many illogical things being done even by large corporations. Now, that's the condemnation that is here, that you're making drunkards. Not only are you drinking, but you're making drunkards out of these. And it's quite interesting. Again, may I refer to an authority of a man and his wife who are working in the drug culture. And they say that so many of these young people come out of homes where cocktails are served. If mama and papa are going to have cocktails, live their life, why can't Junior have his drugs? By the way, I'd like to have a good answer for that, because I've been asked that question, and I've been asked that question by Junior, and I don't have an answer for him, because I think mama and papa are responsible for his going into this drug culture, and I believe that back of drugs has been drunkenness. That is the thing that has brought it to pass in our nation as it is today. Now, these are things that are not being said today. I recognize that they're not being said on radio. And I know this doesn't make you very popular, but I don't think Habakkuk was too popular, and certainly not down in Babylon when this word percolated down there and found out that God condemns drunkenness and God condemns making drunkards out of others.